going back over this past week, I think the way to characterise everything that's going on at the moment is that we're getting a longer and longer timetable before central banks, some of the key central banks, can start to cut rates. And in the US, the idea was, oh yeah, it's getting hardening up now for June, and we seem to have some commentary which supported that. And for us, it's later in the year. Now, the problem is the data's not playing ball. If anything, the economies are getting stronger, and to keep inflation down, you've got to have aggregate demand growing at a fairly slow pace. That's certainly not what's not happening in the US. And you also need to have signs that your labour market is not as tight as it was. And again, certainly not the case in the US, and that was reinforced again in the data last week. So in terms of the economy itself, key leading indicators such as the Purchasing Managers' Indices, that's both the ISM Manufacturing Index and also the Non-Manufacturing Index, they're both sitting above 50. So they're in expansionary territory, not contractionary territory. So there's signs of growth in those leading indicators. The ISM Manufacturing PMI last week actually lifted to 50.3 from 47.8. And worryingly, prices paid in that one, the component lifted from 52 to 55.8. So this is the area where inflation is supposed to be, have a lid on it. It's in goods prices. And if anything, it's starting to pick up again. And we've had the March ISM non-manufacturing PMI, not quite as strong as it was last month at 52.6, but still at 51.4, so still well and truly expansionary. And then right at the end of the week, we had the key non-farm payrolls report, and again, really strong report. Non-farm payrolls lifted by 303,000. They're expected to lift by 212,000. That came after 270,000 lift the month before. That's a very, very strong result. And with it, we had the unemployment rate actually edging down, not up. So the unemployment rate in the US went down to 3.8% from 3.9%. In other words, it's going in the opposite direction to where the Fed needs it to go in the over the next few months in order to sort of try and keep a lid on wage and inflationary pressure. In terms of wage pressures in the US, we had March average hourly earnings. It's just sitting about 4% year on year. The most recent reading was plus 0.3% month on month. Yes, the annual rate came down a touch to 4.1% from 4.3%, but the Fed needs this to be 3.5% and lower to be consistent with its inflation target. We're not getting there fast. If we continue getting 0.3s a month, which is likely with the tightness of the labour market, it's going to get very, very stuck in the higher 3s rather than getting down to below 3.5%. And that's assuming that that doesn't lift at all. Can't afford any lift in that over the course of the next few months. So that places the Fed very much on hold. In terms of what it meant for markets last week, the bond market obviously is starting to fret a bit about the timetable shifting out. The risk asset market is saying, well, we were hoping for rate cuts, but the economy's doing all right, so that's still looking relatively robust for the time being, unless the backup in bond yields, which I think is going to happen over the course of the next month or two, gets in the way of those expectations. Heaven help us if we get a turn in sentiment towards, hey, the Fed's not done yet, it has to lift rates even more to get on top of this. And that's not a high risk yet, but it was almost near zero risk. It's now a definable risk as we start to look out. We'll get some more colour on this with the data this week in the US. So this week we get the minutes of the last FOMC meeting. In a way this is ancient history now because we've had a lot of stronger data since that came out. So this is going to reflect where we were about 3 weeks ago. And if anything, as I say, particularly the non-farm payrolls and some of the purchasing managers reports we've had and some of the price paid information, some of that has started to become more alarming and wouldn't have been to hand when the Fed met last time. What's more important is the middle of the week, here we get some more inflation data out of the US. We get their March CPI. And market thinks this will lift another 0.3% month on month. That will actually lift the annual inflation rate to 3.4% from 3.2%. Now, the battle against inflation in the US, at its lowest point, we got inflation down to 3%, but that was way back in June last year. Since then, we've been undulating. And so, you know, it was 3% June last year. We're back up to 3.4% year on year in the March CPI. We're just not getting it down. It's getting stuck. And so that's, you know, obviously is an issue as we go ahead, unless the Fed decides to ignore it and say, look, we throw our hands up, we can't get it down. Well, that's a different, you know, if we get to that scenario, then heaven help us with the bond yields. The bond yields would actually move up to reflect that change. But core CPI getting stuck too. It was 0.3%, so the annual rate just edged down a little to 3.7 from 3.8. But you know, basically, you know, we're getting caught up as far as the inflation rate's concerned. You know, some of the components inside there, such as the housing component, are starting to show some signs of coming off, but not by much. And so, you know, it's we've still got high services price inflation running through as well. Later in the week, we get the producer price index coming out. You know, this one reflects goods prices. And go back a few months ago, the year-on-year on this had a negative sign on the front of it. It's been lifting over the course of the last few weeks. And this is a worry because the one factor which was really bringing inflation rates down a lot was prices of goods. Yeah, as we resolved our supply chain problems, supply started to lift. But the problem is demand's still running at least at supply and a bit above, and it's starting to put pressure back into these prices. And you know, the most recent month, you know, the market thinks we're going to get a 0.3% increase for the headline PPI and the core PPI up about 0.2. If that's the case, then the annual rate of producer price inflation will lift from 1.6% to 2.3%. Now, you know, that's not high yet, but it's bounced out of negative territory over the last few months on a year-on-year basis. So, yeah, that's just starting to underpin rather than hold down retail inflation in the pipeline. And, yeah, we're other things we'll be watching. We'll be watching things like initial jobless claims. Weekly, they'll come out on Thursday. And that one, yeah, it looks as if it'll edge back a bit to 217,000. It did lift a little bit to 221,000. That's still not a high reading from 212,000 the month before, and still consistent with, you know, a very, very tight labour market. Moving elsewhere, and you know, China, on everybody's estimation, is a bit of a basket case at the moment in terms of economic policy and its ability to deal with the key problems in China, which are, you know, very weak property prices, oversupply of property, and the problems that that's throwing through both into people's feelings about their household wealth and also towards the issues running through the shadow banking system. So, you know, those problems are still around. But weirdly, some of the economic indicators, and people are always very, very cagey with China's economic indicators, but you know, one of the more reliable ones provided by private sector players in China is the cakes in manufacturing PMI and the cakes in non-manufacturing PMI. And these, you know, are lifting, and the cakes in manufacturing PMI went up to 51.1 from 50.9, so it's in expansionary territory. The cakes in non-manufacturing PMI lifted to 52.7 from 52.5. So if anything, China's doing a little bit better than most people estimated. So, you know, that you know, was looking quite softish by Chinese standards, but showing some signs of just a little bit of improvement running through there as well. This week, we get their CPI and producer price index. The CPI in China, just above the zero mark now on a year-on-year basis. It was at 0.7% year-on-year. Going back to the month of February, it's expected to be 0.4% year-on-year for the most recent month. And you know, we've still got downward pressure running through producer prices in China because of the vast excess capacity that's there. They were down 2.7% year-on-year going back to February. They're expected to be down 2.8% year-on-year. We'll also get on Friday, we think, the date's just a bit fluid on this one, their international trade data, that's both exports and imports. Yet these had actually lifted a little bit going back last month. It'd be interesting to see whether that's sustained. Going back to February, export growth had lifted to 7.1% year-on-year and imports had lifted to 3.5% year-on-year. Just be interested, we haven't got a market consensus forecast on that, but interesting to see whether you know, that improvement's just sustained there as well. Then moving to Australia, and you know, if we last week we had ANZ job ads came out, they came down 1%, but the month before was revised from -2.8 to -2.1. Yeah, this indicator is suggesting that you know, it's not quite as tight in the labour market, although having said that, the year-on-year is still very high and job ads are running about 40% higher than where they were before the beginnings of the COVID pandemic. So you know, it's still not a particularly weak reading. We had Melbourne Institute's inflation indicator. For the most recent month, this was plus 0.1 after being minus 0.1 the month before. It's consistent with what we saw with the monthly CPI, where you know, it's just holding around the 3.4% year-on-year mark. We had the RBA minutes, and no real surprises in that. They weren't talking about possibilities of lifting rates further, but you know they were talking backwards and forwards about whether aggregate demand was soft enough and coming in line with supply. There was talk there about the importance of getting labour productivity up further, you know, in the context of wages growth, which whilst just about acceptable, you know, will not be acceptable if productivity does not lift. So you know, there's still a long way from being comfortable about starting to lower interest rates. And if anything, I think some of the data is just pointing away from them being able to lower interest rates anytime soon. And some of that, again, just looking at some of the housing indicators, if you're looking at housing supply, it's very, very weak, and it's going to be very hard to lift that. But housing demand is still just off the charts. We had CoreLogic's house prices came out, you know, up 0.6% month on month again nationally. A lot of pressure still running through from demand for housing. And you know, that is an issue because both house prices and housing rents keep up inside the CPI. And they're just not showing signs of coming back. If anything, they're worsening. This is going to be one of those things which we've talked about more, is just the pressure coming through from excess demand in housing. The housing problem, when people are talking about it, is you know, how do we lift the supply? You know, nobody wants to talk about you know, how do we actually suppress the demand. At some point, the talk will have to go towards that if we continue to get this excessive demand running through housing, because we know that there's no hope of getting the supply up particularly easily. So we just have to make housing as unattractive as possible. That implies you've got to at least keep interest rates where they are and, if anything, push them a bit higher. So just watching developments running through there. And to add to that, we had February home building approvals came out last week. They fell another 1.9% month on month. That was after a 2.5% fall the month before. They're now up only 5% over the past year off a very low base. The supply is just woefully inadequate to meet the burgeoning demand, which is still running through housing. Just at the end of the week, we got the trade balance came through. Bit of weakness there running through exports, largely coming through from commodity prices. So exports were down by 2.2% for the most recent month, but imports were up 4.8%. And that speaks, if anything, of strengthening demand here. That brought back our trade balance, but it's just a hint in there that demand is not quite as weak as it was. Moving into this week, probably just across the Tasman, we'll be watching more closely because the RBNZ's got their policy meeting on Wednesday. They currently got a cash rate of 5.5%. They still expect to leave it at 5.5%, but going back a month, they were just getting a little bit easier about the outlook. Now, there's a reason for that, because New Zealand is in recession. We're not in recession, so there's a bit of a difference between New Zealand and us, but obviously that meeting will have some significance when it comes through. As far as we're concerned, today we get March home loans come out. The expectation is that after 2 months where the value of home loans has come down, and going back to February, home loans were down by 4.6% month on month. There's an expectation there'll be a lift for the most recent month. That'll be consistent with what we've seen running through auction clearances and sales data over the last month or two, which, if anything, suggests that we've actually got strengthening demand there running through the housing side. On Tuesday, we get NAB business conditions and business confidence for the month of March. Business conditions are still running fine. They were plus 10 going back to last month. Zero is the expansion contraction marker on this survey. So plus 10 is actually quite a strong result. And that's because businesses have largely been making profits. We don't expect to see that deteriorating much. And business confidence was just set on zero. Over the last few months, it has been had a negative sign on the front of it at times. So if anything, that's been a marginal improvement. So just watching to see how that goes. On Wednesday, we'll get April Westpac consumer sentiment. Last month, it was down by 1.8%, but that followed a 5% gain the month before. Just be interesting to see how it goes for the most recent month. If anything, it seems to be settling, albeit at a fairly low level. But what we have seen through actual spending is that in the early months of this year, there's been a little bit of a lift in terms of retail spending relative to the final quarter of last year. Some of the explanations for that are we've had some very big events, not least of which was the Taylor Swift event and all these sorts of things which had to demand in certain areas. And that's certainly true. But there again, that's still a lift in aggregate demand, which is not exactly the way that the Reserve Bank wants to see things going. They want aggregate demand still to be relatively soft whilst they try to get supply up to meet it. They've still not got to that point yet. So that still becomes something of a concern. Moving to Europe, and last week, their manufacturing PMI was a little bit firmer than expected, but it's below 50 at 46.1 and 46.5. Europe and the UK, obviously in recession or skirting recession, they're much weaker than places like Australia and the United States. And as a result of that, aggregate demand is tracking below aggregate supply. So that's a very different position to us as well. And that's what's bearing down on their inflation rate. So you're getting rather better progress on inflation in Europe than elsewhere. And they had their March preliminary CPI came out. It was up 0.8% month on month, but going back a year, it was up a long way this time last year. So the actual annual rate of inflation came down from 2.6 to 2.4. The core CPI was actually up 1.1%, but that was still enough to bring inflation down to 2.9 from 3.1. Obviously, if you continue to get those sorts of monthly results, then you won't get too much more progress, but there's a chance that, that those will start to fade given the weakness of aggregate demand in Europe. Also, just a slight tweak higher in the unemployment rate for February. I say a tweak higher. It was mostly a revision to the previous month, which initially was reported at 6.4%. That was lifted to 6.5%. And so the month of February was also at 6.5%. So just off that low 25-year low point, but still basically relatively tight. We also had the services sector PMI came out. That was actually quite strong in Europe, up to 51.5 from 50.2. So you know, that, if anything's got a bit of a tweak upwards in it. And we had some retail sales data, which were pretty weak in Europe in February. They were down by 0.5%. This week, we get the ECB meeting. And you know, the ECB, the comments that have come through from there, from Christine Lagarde, in recent times, that you know, they think they're getting inflation back towards their target by the middle of the year. You know, that was almost taken by everybody as code that, you know, that probably the ECB's in, maybe in a position to ease rates once we get to around June. I don't think they'll be doing it before that because you know, there still wouldn't be enough confidence that inflation's coming back. So the ECB meeting, their deposit rate's at 4%, and we expect to see it still at 4% after we get past the ECB meeting this week. But if you're looking at that, both the US and Australia, if anything, it's just this little bit of a sea change in sentiment that views about when interest rates come down are just starting to push out further again. Yes, there's been a theme actually over the course of the last 3 to 6 months that expectations about interest rate cuts just keep getting pushed further and further out as something gets in the way of progress getting inflation down to target in both the US and here in Australia. Yeah, this may be an ongoing story, so you know, if at the very least it means that you know, we're stuck at the rates we've got now probably into next year. Rather than thinking about later this year. So it's how well risk asset markets deal with those changing expectations and whatever reaction we get through bond yields over the course of the next month or two as well. Obviously, that's going to be a factor in sort of how this influences various asset prices as we go ahead.